Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Nan is right here beside me. Megan and Betty are joining us later, or Megan, not sure if both or not. But, Nan, it's nothing like sliding right into our chairs here, you and Cedric and me. I mean, all of us, wham, and here we are.
Here we are. Kind of winded, come flying in there the way we did.
Well, hi. We came from lunch, and
which was wonderful.
Took a while to get served today, and it's not something you can usually do much about when the food is running late. But
right. I mean,
it's a large group of us. We certainly understand.
12. That's a lot of people. They did excellent.
They
service,
did really.
You know, they did a good job.
They did. So, but we were flying down Drew Street. Were we not?
We were.
We did not break the speed limit at all.
Oh, no.
Absolutely
not at all. No.
But we are here intact.
Praise God.
Excited about this show. Oh my.
Yes.
You know, Nan, in all the years we've been doing this, and for me, it's been 7 years, and you joined us maybe 3 years ago on the air.
Something like that, yeah.
But it never gets old.
No.
I mean, I just love being on the air. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, it's an
exciting
week.
The answer is yes.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
Yes. I so much look forward to it because it's just the way that the Holy Spirit moves, you know, throughout the program, and it ministers to people who are listening live, or it ministers to people who listen to it later on the website. You know,
right.
just to be a small part of being a vessel.
Yes.
Of involvement with this ministry is really exciting for me. I love it.
Oh, it is. And it never gets old. And
honestly,
when I leave here after each show and get in my car and pull out here on Myrtle Avenue, and I just have such a wonderful feeling of, okay, we have spread the word of God today in a way that hopefully is educational, but kind of entertaining and kind of fun. And with great music, and I just love it. I absolutely love this branch of our ministry.
Well, I mean, serving God is fun. And
really?
We had a blast.
We had a lot of fun at lunch, didn't we?
We had a blast. It was a wonderful time of fellowship at lunch.
Sure,
it was great.
Right.
But, you know, I think sometimes people are raised in certain places, different types of background, denomination, whatever, that... It seems just a starch kind of, you go to church and you open your hymnal and you open your Bible and then you have an altar call time and then that's it, you know, and that is all needed. And we do all that, you know, but in the midst of all that, you know, you can have a great Wednesday night Bible study, you know, interactive Bible study like we have, you know, it's fun. It's fun serving God.
It is. It is fun being in the Word and seeing what God is going to do in our individual lives. I mean, in the communion time this morning, what a beautiful time at the end of our service today. God was moving in lives around the room. It was just, whoa. You know, it was one of those, wow, look what God is doing. He gets all the glory and the praise, you know, for the show, for the ministry. We're in our 13th year as a ministry, which doesn't even seem possible to me. I was pretty young when we started this church.
You were very young when you started this church, Pastor.
No, younger up in Indiana. But still, I mean, it's just a joy to be able to serve the Lord, see what he's going to do today in the show. We always have a general idea of where we're going, but we really do submit to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we go through the show and allow God to lead us where he wants to lead us. And to me, that is so exciting because God's in charge, Nan.
God is in charge. And you know, the people that comprise the radio team are all very in tune to listening to the leading of the Spirit of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes the radio show so powerful, because we're all working together in unison.
Absolutely.
And, you know, nothing pre-script, nothing.
There's no script
except a Bible
here.
And a notepad.
All this
is
the songs we're going to do.
Right.
And
you know,
that's all it is. And because as far as the dialogue and the teaching, that does come strictly from the Holy Spirit right on time. So we're excited, and it's good. I'm glad you could join us. And
pleasure to fly in.
As you flew in and your helicopter from Smoky Bones.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, it's a joy. So we're glad you've joined us today out there in Radio Land, and we're looking forward to a great time in the Spirit of God and just knowing what God wants to say today and what he wants to do in our lives, because every one of these shows is an opportunity for God to speak to us, to teach us, to train us up in the way we should go. It's an opportunity for us to learn new things about what God has in store for us. Is it not, Nan?
Yes, it is.
Ooh. So we never know what God's going to do.
What God's going to do.
Oh, wow. We Megan wanted this song on last week, and we didn't get it on. And so we're going to start the show with it today. And I know Megan will be joining us here shortly. So this song is by Ray Bolts, a good friend of ours, who actually I had the privilege of having on the show about a year and a half ago, live. He was from Fort Lauderdale, and we had him on. Great songwriter, singer, minister of the gospel, wonderful man. This is a new song from him, Never Let You Fall.
As you step into the unknown, I know you're frightened. There's something you should understand. You are my child. You're in my hand. And I will never let you fall. And this is a promise.
Great song. Wow. Ray Bolts. He's written a wonderful one there, right?
He sure has.
Oh, my. You know, God is always with us no matter what we're going through. The word says that he never leaves us or forsakes us. Okay? He is always there. And in those times of our lives where we feel like we're crashing, we're falling, where everything is just falling apart, he is right there. Mm-hmm. And all he asks is that we reach out to him in sincerity, in genuine, in genuineness now on the inside mm-hmm. of us, and in just telling God, asking him, talking to him. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about this new series, 4 G's for Godly Living, Kingdom Living, actually. And because Jesus all the time talked about living in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he really has said a whole lot in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which we're going to talk about. But let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the work that you're doing in each of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you send your word and bring healing to us. And Lord, for those who will listen to this show today, live or later on the air on our website, Lord, we ask that you just touch hearts, that you remind them of your great love for them, and that you remind them of the ability that we have just to talk to you at any moment of the day and any moment of the night, that you are always right there. You never leave us or forsake us. God, we thank you for that. You are so wonderful. We thank you for this opportunity on this show today to talk about you and to teach a few simple principles and draw closer to you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we were in Matthew chapter 5, and we were talking about Jesus saying that we were to be salt and we were to be light. And I love these verses. We're going to start right here today in Matthew 5, about verse 13. Jesus said this, and this is the Message Bible I'm reading from. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. And then he says it this way in the next verse. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. I think that's huge, Nan. I mean, a lot of times people are so timid to talk about their faith. They don't want to talk about what God's doing in their lives. They're afraid they might offend somebody. We live in the, what do you call it? I just lost the word, but politically correct.
Oh, yes.
Time of our history in America. Probably the most, quote unquote, politically correct time we've ever lived in. Where people are all the time getting in trouble on the media, spokespeople, politicians, actors for saying something the wrong way, whatever. People are being, our words are being watched to make sure that we are, quote unquote, politically correct. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to think who, there was someone I know, and right now I can't remember who it was. I remember who it was. It's someone who goes to our church, and she was working on a job.
Okay.
And she was telling different people, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Oh.
They called her into the office and they told her, no, it's Happy Holidays. It's
right.
Not Merry Christmas.
That's,
you don't
yeah.
do that. And she felt
that's horrible.
Stifled.
Right.
That she was not able to address people in the way that she felt was most appropriate.
Right. Exactly.
For herself. Because
right.
it's about Christmas. It's not just
absolutely.
A holiday. But,
absolutely.
You know, that's, we have to be very politically, you know, correct. I found myself when I worked for an engineering firm that I wouldn't say Merry Christmas because we had some people from other types of
religions
yeah. that did not celebrate Christmas. And I, where I worked, there had to be politically correct.
There you go. Well, Jesus is radical here in the things he says in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Dan. And he says right here, you're to be salt. You're to give... salt adds flavor. We talked about this on last week's show in detail. So if you missed that, go back to our website, beaconoffolkministries.com, and catch that whole discussion and teaching on salt and light. Because what Jesus is saying here is make a difference. Do make a difference. Okay? Mm-hmm. Take a stand. You know? Be the light where you are in your life and in your family and in your friends and in your workplace. Now, as far as specifics, what you say and what you don't, this show is not about that. It's about you living out your destiny mm-hmm. and following the direction of the Holy Spirit in your life, if God causes you and puts in your heart that you are to say something to someone, whatever. And you've done this in your capacity, in your job, where you are in the school system. There are times that people have come to you and asked for prayer, mm-hmm. and you shut your office door and pray with them, don't you?
Yes.
and you're careful to keep track of and not take a break and things
right,
like
exactly.
that.
Yeah,
you don't cheat
it's
your
not
employer.
Cheating. I'm not cheating
no.
employer, that's for sure.
But you take the opportunity when somebody asks for help, correct?
Right. Oh, most definitely.
And that's, I mean, this is what Jesus is talking about here. Be the light. Be somebody that people know, oh, there's something different about her. What is it? Mm-hmm. You know?
We need to stand out in a positive way.
Right.
You know, we need to stand out that, you know, the person is different.
Absolutely.
Why is that person different?
Right.
And they start trying to figure, why is that person, you know, and then they discover that. They find that, you know.
Right.
And that's when, you know, the Lord opens up opportunities. Like, I mean, I don't just grab someone and say, here, you want, let's come pray in my office. That'd be stupid.
No.
Yeah, that
it's
would
not
be
like
really
that.
Dumb.
But
no,
God will
all,
open the
know?
Doors of opportunity.
Absolutely.
He will do that. Megan, are you on the air, girl?
I'm here, Marcia. Hi.
Hey, Megan. How you doing?
Are you driving down the road, Megan?
No, I'm in the passenger seat while Mama drives.
Oh, okay. All right. I hear you guys went to Columbus, Ohio today.
We did. We had a little Mama-daughter time, and cool. It was very nice just to be together and praising God and being chandelier swingers this morning. It was fun.
So you went to Rod Parsley's church?
We did, and I mean, just the size of that church is overwhelming to begin
right,
with.
But right.
As soon as you hit the doors, the praise and worship team—I mean, you can hear it as soon as you get to the front doors—and the Holy Spirit just hits you
woo!
like a cloud. I mean, like you're walking through a cloud. It's absolutely amazing.
Woo! Amen. So you are blessed. You feel good.
Amen. I feel blessed every day. But yes, that you know when you start your week. In church, that determines the rest of your week leading up to the next Sunday.
You know, that's so
it's amazing.
It's true that we need to gather with the family of God, and we need to worship God, and we need to be in that atmosphere. And it's so amazing what God can do when only two of us get together and worship Him, praise Him. We had an amazing service today, Megan, just a powerful move of God. We're looking forward to you and your mama and little Andrew coming down here in a few weeks and joining us in our service. But it is so powerful when people come in and they're in the same place. Their desire is to be lights. Their desire is to be salt. You know, they want to make a difference. They want to follow what God has in store for them for that day in that service. Nan, talk to me about that. The importance of coming into a service with that expectancy.
Well, I'm reminded of times, I guess I should do this every time, but I haven't. But there was just, I was in such a praise and worship prior to service that I couldn't wait to come through the doors of church. I mean, just because I'd already spent so much time with the Lord and praising
right.
and glorifying His name, and you know, and He inhabits the praise of His people. So
yes.
I'm praising, He's inhabiting, and we're just like having
woo!
A blast, you know. And then wow, I get to go to church, and it's
what an attitude!
What an
I
attitude.
Get to go to church. That
know?
Is pretty cool, Megan. Don't you think?
You know, but that, it's important because it can set the tone for the rest of our. You know,
yes.
When I leave here, I'm going to have to start thinking about Monday.
Right.
Get my clothes ready. You know, whatever. Am I going to take lunch? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know the I call the mundane things of life that I don't like having to deal with, but you know, we all have to
but
do this.
But we have to do it.
We have to do
it. We have to earn a living.
You know, because we have to earn a living. You know?
Yeah.
And figure out how to get around that one. Yeah. But I mean, but it sets the tone. You know?
It does.
I mean, I rarely miss church. I'm usually
right.
almost there. And, you know, went on a little vacation trip here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I missed being at church.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I had a fun time, you know, but, you know, I missed being at church.
Praise God. So, with this said, Megan, when we go into a service with expectancy, we go into the house of the Lord wanting to know what God wants to say to us and determining that we're going to have a listening ear, it makes all the difference, does it not?
It does. You know, and that's the thing. You need to be looking forward to your time in the house of God because I'll tell you what, you know, I wish I could go to church like that every day of the week. I know right. people probably think that's insane, but it's not. Because I have such a desire to find out what he wants me to do in
right.
my life, where
yes.
he wants me to go. And it's a thirst that you want to quench every single day. So, I mean, when you go into church, you need to go in with an expectant heart, not a heart full of gloom and doom. Leave it at the door, rebuke it, get it off of you, and go into the house of the Lord with an open heart and an open mind and your ears and your eyes open. Get rid of the distraction, because every time you go to church, God has got something to say to you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I so agree. And we have just got to be receptive to what he has to say. I find Matthew 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7 astonishingly frank. Astonishingly in your face. You know, in most of the translations, 5, 6, and 7 are just almost all red letter, which means all of this was said by Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we know it's the Sermon on the Mount. And then he expanded and expanded, and he just kept talking. And he talked about behavior and attitudes. And I think, Megan, there's a lot of people that don't want to ever have their behavior or their attitudes confronted or dealt with or even noticed, if you know what I'm saying.
I do. And, you know, here, when you and Nan were talking before I came on, God told me this is the year of truth.
Woo, the year of truth. I like that.
The year of truth. So, you know, now that you're focusing on Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that these are all read, spoken by Jesus' words, we know it's the year of truth because God is going to come through some way, somehow, through someone, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak truth to you.
Exactly.
And I pray that each person that is exposed to that is prepared to receive it, because it may be in the form of correction, and it may be in a form of you need to get rid of your attitude and let God change your attitude, not to have an attitude of gloom and doom and anger, but to have an attitude of I want to show the light through my actions and through my words. I don't want to condemn people anymore. I want to make a transformation with myself.
Woo! I am in agreement with that. Let's look at Matthew 5, starting with about verse 33. And again, I'm reading from the Message Bible, but this is what it says. These are the words of Jesus. And don't say anything you don't mean. Okay? That's pretty blunt right there. Don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded in deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it, or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes or no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Oh, I think that paragraph, which is verses 33 to 37 in Matthew chapter 5, is Jesus in our face with the things we say and the way we come across to people. Talk to me about that, Megan.
Well, Pastor, you know, our tongue can speak positive and it can speak negative.
Absolutely.
And when you try to be a negative speaker, but then you try to use, like it says in the verses you just read, you try to cover them with religious lace.
Yeah.
It's going to be noticeable because you're trying to speak truth, but you're not doing it. You're
right.
You're in a double mindset where you're trying to be one way, but then in front of those who are religious, you're trying to be another. And God sees right through it. And I'm telling you, this is the year of truth and the year of correction, because that has got to stop. It's got to stop.
Woo! Year of truth and year of correction. You know, I really agree with that. I mean, it is time. It says, you know, that we correction, you know, it begins with the house of the Lord. You know, it should start with us, that we realize the things that we are saying and doing and behaving, the actions we're taking, the things, attitudes we have. We need to realize whether or not those are productive, whether they are positive, whether they're helping somebody, or whether we're tearing somebody down with the words of our mouth. Don't you think this is that time to face these things from Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Megan, these are strong in-your-face statements by Jesus.
They are. And, you know, it's because I truly believe God is tired of the people that, let's just say, want to have their own pity party. He's tired of it.
Right.
Because, you know, he wants us to be the salt and the light of the earth.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you look around you on a daily basis, this earth is just so, it's just nasty. I mean, you can just sense it. It's just nasty. And if you can go to church and cleanse your heart and your mind and your spirit, and you can walk out of there and bless somebody instead of condemning them,
right,
then your life is going to be blessed.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, because that's how he wants us to be. He doesn't want us to go out and speak negativity about our church or negativity about each other, because that speaks evil into the situation, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, I agree with you, and I find Matthew 5:33 in the Message Bible quite interesting, because this statement of Jesus, don't say anything you don't mean. And I think a lot of times people are, and I've been guilty of this. I mean, backhanded comments like passive-aggressive behavior we talked about in Wednesday night Bible study the other night, about times when we are trying to make a point to somebody, but we do it in a sarcastic, backhanded way, if you know what I'm saying. And
yep.
And so instead of just honestly going to someone and saying, you know what, you know, the thing you said, I don't understand what you said. Let's talk about it. It bothered me. Instead, a lot of times, you know, people are very guilty of that backhanded thing. And I say all that to take us into verse 38 of Matthew 5. Here's the next thing Jesus said. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? You know, a lot of times the way people react is, okay, he said something that hurt me. I'm going to say something's going to hurt him right back. You know, or she did this to me. I found out she did this to me. I'm going to do this even worse. You know, it's a, as he calls it here, a tit for tat, you know, in the Message Bible. And Jesus is very, very frank here. And then I just really find this cool. He says this, don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. On these four G's for kingdom living, living generously is one of those four G's, where we are generously giving forgiveness to people. Nan, talk to me about this, because there are so many times that we are so hurt, I think, by the actions of others, especially those close to us or some dig that they make, that we react in a very unkind and stabbing. Well, the old saying here, hurt people, right? Talk to me about that, and then we'll go to Megan for a comment on it.
Well, there was a time in my life a long time ago, when I wasn't serving the Lord. Was it trying to serve the Lord? I could chew you up and spit you out. You wouldn't even know what happened to you. Hmm. I mean, I could be.
Did you hear that, Megan? We need to be careful around Nan.
Be careful around me.
But I knew I had to watch Nan.
I know it, man. You got to watch her.
You know, just as in a response, or
right.
There wasn't really a response. It was a reaction to something coming my way. You know, and I would pride myself that I was able to do that.
Ooh,
that's the
pride yourself in your sharp tongue.
Yes,
a lot of people have a sharp tongue, and they are proud of it.
They are. I don't do that now.
Why not?
Obviously.
Why not?
It's not Christ-like, for one thing. Okay. We're supposed to be reaching out to people with love, not snapping back at them. And when people come against you, it's hard sometimes not to retaliate, would be a good word, to retaliate back against
them. Exactly.
You know, because they've hurt us or they've done something to us.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it with God's help, we can do this.
We can do this.
Without, you know, if we don't rely on God for the strength to do this, we can't. I can't without God's help. I can't live like that without God's help. With God's help, yes, I can.
Well, the devil always wants to bring back your old habits. Mm-hmm. And if a sharp tongue was one of your old habits or a critical spirit, the devil wants to try to bring that back. Megan, talk to us about this, because don't you think this is life-changing stuff that Jesus says here?
It absolutely is, Pastor, because, you know, just like Nan said, she took pride in getting back at people when she used to be that way. And it's because people, they get joy out of revenge and out of retaliation. And it's like, and you're talking about Satan using certain things to bring up your past or evoke certain emotions out of you. It comes at me sometimes on a daily basis.
Right.
And it's generally through the people that I love the most.
Well, yeah.
And it's like anymore, it's like, you know, I get attacked, but then it's like I just stand there. And I have nothing to say, because no matter how anybody attacks me, you know, whether they're sarcastic, revengeful, or they're retaliating, it doesn't faze me anymore, because I'm walking in the light and I'm trying to be the salt. And if you're doing that, when you get in those situations, it's just like it says right there, what Jesus says. You just stand there and take it, because getting back at them is giving the devil what he wants.
Oh.
He wants you to be angry and to have an evil and dirty tongue.
Absolutely. The devil wants a fight. The devil wants you fighting with your spouse, wants you fighting with your church family, your blood family, your workplace relationships. The devil wants us at odds with people. And it boils down to, I'm going to throw this at you, Nan, and then I want your comment on it too, Megan. It boils down to, the strength in prayer comes from prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:18-20. If two of you agree as touching anything, okay? Now, that means that there is such strength in being in agreement in prayer with a fellow Christian. And when we get off into retaliation and hurting with our words and our attitudes and saying cruel things because somebody said something cruel to you, how can you pray with that person right then? How can you be in agreement with them? And not, you're not. You're far, far apart, far apart, because you're hurt. They're feeling like, I told her off. Rah, rah, rah. Talk to me, Nan.
Let me make sure I understand
the practical Christian living 101, don't you think?
I don't know how you could bind together with someone like that and pray. I don't know that you could.
I don't think you can.
I don't think, not at that point. I don't think
not
that you
right
can.
Not right
then.
It would be advantageous. It wouldn't be genuine.
Well, it would not. I would not want to pray with someone that had just chewed me out. You know? And it might be that you do need to bind together with someone in prayer, but not that person. But you have to be careful. You have to be really careful. Like, if I had a problem with somebody like that, I know I can go to you and I can say, can you please pray with me about this? And you will, but it won't, you won't, it's not a gossipy situation.
No.
Me going to you. You have
no.
to be very careful.
You
if you,
do
if
have
you
to
do
be very
try
careful.
To go to someone to pray with you, you need to be very mindful who in the congregation you're going to,
yeah.
because it can actually turn into a big gossip session. And what's supposed to start it out is pray to be able to better understand how to deal with the situation turns into a fiasco.
Totally. And the devil loves that.
Oh, he loves
he
fiascos.
Totally loves that. And he loves division. He loves strife and division. Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Megan. Don't you think this is a common problem in our homes, in our churches, in our families?
I do. And one thing comes to mind. If you're going to go with someone in unity to the on your knees at the bottom of the cross,
right?
Don't you want to go there with a pure heart?
Ah, yeah.
Because God sees right through you. You can't hide anything from God. So if you go to the throne and you're carrying resentment or anger upon you, how is anything that you ask for going to ever come into fruition if you're holding resentment or anger towards the person that you're trying to pray in unity with?
Well, you just said the right thing, because the answer is you can't get answers to your prayers to the degree that you could have if you were walking in love. What happens is unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, strife cause you to separate yourself from God, not draw yourself to God. And this is a tactic of the devil, because if he can pull us away from unity, then we don't have prayer of agreement, because we're mad at each other. Nan, if I'm sitting here mad at you, I don't want to sit down and pray with you. That's what you just said a minute ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
It's interesting how the tactic of how that stuff happens, because then you kind of get separated off from the flock. He can pick the sheep out one by one as they get separated from the flock because of whatever has happened. And they're easy target.
Totally easy target. And because when we get our feelings hurt and we don't just go to that person, I mentioned this morning. Was that kind of a strong sermon this morning, Nan?
I thought it was strong. You kept looking at me a lot. I leaned over to a friend of mine. I said, she's looking at me a lot. I don't know why.
No, it wasn't directed at you. Yeah. I pick on you, but it wasn't directed at you. Because, no, Nan, you and I, we're good.
Oh,
you
we're
know?
Good. We're no good. Problem. No problem.
But, all right, Megan, she finally got it that I was preaching about her. Can you believe that? Come on, good. Nan. All right,
way
you got it.
Way to open your eyes, Nan.
Yeah, way to open your eyes. But, you know, the really, when we are, quote unquote, mad at or hurt by, or our feelings are hurt by somebody, especially in the body of Christ or our family, our spouse, whatever, and we don't have the guts, and I'm going to say that word guts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Courage, guts, to go to them and say, man, what you said a minute ago really hurt me. Can we talk about that? Jesus said, when, and in Matthew chapter 15, when you have something against your brother or sister, and you know, or you know they have against you, that you have an obligation to go to them and make it right. If you, you know, if there's something that you've said and you need to ask them to forgive you, whatever, you talk to me about that, Nan, and then we'll go to Megan about that.
No, I can't remember the specific situations, but it does come mind remembrance of there has been times at a previous church I attended that you know, someone would start treating me very oddly. I pull them aside.
You did?
And I say, you know, I want to talk to you for a minute. And pull them aside so that no one can hear the discussion and say, look, you know, here's how I feel. Here's what I feel that you're doing and the way that you're acting. Have I done anything to offend you?
There you go.
And, you know, I mean, if so, I would like to ask your forgiveness. I'm not aware of anything, but if I have done anything, and it kind of like calls them on the carpet in a way and not meaning to, but just to try to clear air, you know, because you can tell when someone's getting kind of a little cocky with you or distance with
they
you.
They don't talk you know, to you. They you don't know, look you in the eye. They pass you in the hall at church and they don't speak to you. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell pretty easily, you know, and so, I like to... You know, the Bible says to live at peace with all men, and that's
right.
What we're to strive to do.
Absolutely.
We got to recognize there's going to be some people who are hearing this who are in situations, you know, many times marital situations, divorce situations, things like that, that they can't control that,
right. Yeah.
You know. So we need to, you know, make sure kind of qualify that there to say, you know.
Yeah.
But they can do the best that they can do, and that's all they're responsible for is doing the best they can do.
Right. We're talking in generalities. We realize
right.
That. Megan, talk it to us here.
Well, you know, it's like what Nan said. It's that discernment of spirit is you can totally tell when the devil is attacking somebody. I can.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to bug you until you tell me what is the matter. And if you don't tell me what's the matter, then I'm going to tell you that I'm praying for you so that the Holy Spirit will come on you and give you some conviction so that you'll try to get rid of and give what you've got hanging on you to God. Because...
Ooh.
You know, it's just,
Megan, you're it's awfully bold for a...
I know. I am trying to get ready to tell. I was getting ready to tell you. Is since I've been in the storm I'm in,
right.
That song he played about Ray Bolt, he won't bring you any further than your knees. It's true. And when I got on my knees, I asked for a transformation. I asked to be the person that God wants me to be. And I know that right now I have to be bold. And... I had to tell someone today that I was talking to on the phone that it was not probably a very good time to talk to me because the Holy Spirit was all over me, and I had to tell that person, I don't think you're ready to hear what I have to say.
Woo!
But when you are, then you come to me, and I'll be glad to share with you.
There you go.
What you need to hear, because it's not of an argumentative spirit. Don't think of it that way. It was a spirit of correction coming from God to point out to you, hey, you know what you're going, what you got going on right now. It's the devil. He's trying to attack you. He's trying to make a nest inside your spirit, and I'm trying to help you notice it and get rid of it and tell it to leave you alone in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And you can only do that as far as somebody will listen. And if they refuse to listen, okay, there are remedies in Matthew 15. If somebody refuses to listen, take him, you know, to the church body and that kind of thing, or take witnesses and so forth. But the bottom line is that Jesus is saying, walk in truth. Walk in reality. Don't walk around being a big old fake, you know?
Yep.
And we talked about that at church this morning in my sermon, Megan, about so many Christians really put on a fake face. You know,
yep.
It's not real. They can be nicey-nice to your face and behind your back cut you up in 150,000 pieces. And, you know, you don't even know that there's been 14 texts about you behind your back in the last hour. But to your face, oh, hi, sweetie, so good to see you. Give me a hug. You know, that's where Christians... I'm on a soapbox here, Cedric. He's just shaking his head. Go for it in there. Because I'm not kidding you. This is where Christians get a bad name as being hypocritical. Because we don't live the love of God on a daily, consistent basis like we need to do. We instead tell people what they want to hear. We placate. We try to keep peace where maybe a situation needs to be dealt with. Nan, talk to me about this.
Wow, are you off your soapbox?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm here rolling.
Sure.
Cedric is clapping now. So
yeah,
we're going. Okay.
Well, I think that's what does give the church a bad name is the hypocrisy that goes on.
Yes.
In it. And it's like that's not what it's meant to be.
No.
I mean, this sounds terrible. If someone's just going to be a hypocrite, they might as well just, this may be the wrong thing to say, and you can correct me. If they're not going to try to follow in submission what God wants them to do, they'd be better off to be out of the church than in the church.
Amen, man.
I mean, they will be hearing the word being in the church, but they're going to cause more problems
right.
in a church by staying in the church than just going on down the road, leave the church people alone, go live your life. I'm sorry, but I mean, that's the way I feel about it. Just go. I mean, the church is to be there for people. That's not
right.
what I'm saying. But if someone is going to just there
be a troublemaker.
A troublemaker, leave. I'll open the door for you and I'll shut it on the way out. Not a problem.
Oh, boy, is this ever a great segue into this song by Casting Crowns, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, because what we're talking about is sin, guys.
Right.
The Christian world loves to point a finger and say adultery is sin and this is sin and that is sin. But rarely do you see Christians rising up and saying, wait a minute, when you lie, when you gossip, when you speak ill of people behind their back, when you cut them to shreds and all that kind of stuff, and you're not reaching out in love, that's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And this song, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, he's our friend.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners. Open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be
sinners. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. What we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines and love like you did? Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy.
Forgotten that first verse of that song when we were talking about this. Megan, talk to us, because God has just given Nan here a poem to read in a minute that she just wrote. Yes, a poem.
A poem.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, you know, I like the second verse because it says, you know, let the stones fall from their hands.
Right.
Because, you know, we can't, you know, let the first person be without sin cast a stone.
Right.
And all of us humans have sinned. So, you know, those people that, those hypocritical Christians need to drop the stones in their hands, because it's time to get real here. We are, as a body of Christ, we are not to be attacking anyone on this earth.
Right.
That is totally, it's just absolute pure evil. And I can't remember what scripture that it's in. It says that, you know, how can you pull I don't know if it's a boulder or a twig from someone else's eye when you've got one in your own.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, I just want to tell people, go and look in the mirror and see if you see the salt and the light, or do you see evil? Because, you know, if you're speaking negativity, you know, whether it be in front of somebody's face or behind their back, you have no idea what ammunition you're giving the devil when you do that.
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, when you come into church, you need to dump that off of you and totally resist and rebuke it, so that it can't come back on you seven times stronger than it did before. Because I'm here to tell you, I've seen it happen to people, that they say that they want to get rid of it, and they've cleansed their heart of it, they've cleansed their spirit and their mind of it. But if they drop off of the ladder one rung, the devil is waiting and looking for that little bit of a way to get in there and get you back.
And it's just a matter of just seconds for the yuck to come out, you know, at that time,
right,
too. So we have to be on guard all the time. And, Nan, what is the poem that God gave you here? We like to tease her because that's how she says the word P-O-E-M.
Poem.
Poem.
Poem. Well, I had to preface this with just one thing. If we're talking about Jesus, friend of sinners. I can recall when my husband and I were in leadership at the church we were at, the little old lady who would, not necessarily little old lady, many times a little young lady or a young man who would be the kind of the gossiper type in the church, they caused much more problems in a church than, so what if brother so-and-so went out and he got drunk and stayed out all night, got cleaned up, came in, smelled a booze, but he was at church and he wasn't bothering anybody. The gossiping and the thing, and that's what this poem is kind of like about, and it's really strong.
Okay.
And it's the strongest one I've ever penned.
Oh, wow.
Pretty,
man.
Oh, boy.
Pretty direct.
I'm scared. Go.
Me too. Jesus wants to make a difference in the life that you have, but you need to want to change in the manner in which you behave. Call on Jesus to help you now. He will shed light before you. He will direct you in exactly what you're to do. Continuing on in a gossiping way will lead you to much pain. Come on, listen to Jesus. There's so much more for you to gain.
Wow.
Amen.
Very strong. Very strong, but very right on. Jesus does not mince words here, guys. In Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 here, let's look at verse 43 in Matthew 5. Jesus said this. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. This is what Jesus says. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you're working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up.
Wow.
Your kingdom subjects now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others. Two of our G's, four G's for kingdom living, two of them right there. Living generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Talk to me, Megan. This is strong stuff.
Oh, my. Those two little words, grow up.
Uh-huh. Kind of. And they're in italicized. You know, they're italicized here in our Message Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that is so true in today's world because, you know, we get into situations where, I mean, it can be the littlest, minute thing, and we can just blow off the handle. And it's like, just right there, grow up. And God is telling us that, you know, you're going to have, we know that we're going to have trials on this earth. We know that because, you know, that's what teaches us and should teach us to draw closer to God.
Right.
And it's just like my situation, you know, it's like I had that happen and it's like it was an eye-opener to grow up in the Spirit.
Right.
And I didn't take that as a, you know, as a hurtful thing. I took that as a challenge because
Woo.
I know now, after 33 years of, you know, always being a Christian, but now where I'm at, I know that the only place that I can draw the truth and the strength that I need to get through this earthly life is through God.
Amen.
And it's time for for everybody on this earth to grow up, and we also need to stop trying to control our own lives, because we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to keep getting junk is what we're going to keep getting if we keep trying to control our lives. But instead, if we grow up, man up, and find God and make ourselves true of heart, we will be totally shocked and amazed and be without words at what can happen to us in our piddly little lives here on earth. Because I'm just here to tell you, my own self, it's absolutely mind-blowing. It's amazing.
Wow. You know what? Woo. That's exactly what we need to be hearing and what we need to be doing. We need to grow up and let go of the pettiness that so many of us are prone to. Well, you didn't look at me. I mean, I use this example a lot in the ministry and have for years. Did the pastor hug you? The pastor didn't hug me today, you know? And I try to get around everybody, but sometimes I don't, for whatever reason, get sidetracked. Nan has given up her pettiness, Megan. She is much better now about all of that, aren't you, Nan?
but I just realized you didn't hug me today.
Oh, no. I knew it. Bam, that one for you, Nan. But go ahead.
Well, we were talking about people and being separated and stuff. That is petty stuff that people can really take that kind of crap to heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap A.
Yep.
That crap A to heart, you know?
Right.
And it can cause a lot of problems.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I'll go home and I'll think to myself, because I always try to make it a point to greet everybody at the beginning of church, if I'm there early, but always at the end, is say bye to everybody, wish them a good week. And then I'll get to the house and I'm like, you know, I didn't hug so and so and so and so and so. And what was, I was to say, on one side of the church, they were on the other side of the church. They happened to leave out before I could get over there, you know, and I'm like, oh, I hope that they didn't think, think about those things. And they might think, well, Nanette always hugs everybody. Why didn't Nan come and hug me today?
Well, that's it. It
wasn't that I wasn't trying not to, it was that. Just the way it
But it's
out.
Things like that that the devil uses. And this is why we have to grow up, Nan. We have to grow up and not let the devil pull these little things over on us, you know?
Sometimes people just like to get caught up in that stuff.
They like it because it gives them something to talk about. Maybe they're the center of attention in their little group for a few minutes. And I'm so mad at Pastor. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I know, but believe me, I've lived it all these years in the ministry. I know how easy it is for people to get mad at me. I mean, it is. Megan, talk to us about this, because Jesus is really confronting the behaviors. Oh, gosh, I didn't even see what time it was. We have got to go in just a second to station ID. So, Megan, can you hold that thought until we come back in our second
hour?
Okay.
Absolutely.
And those of you that are new to the ministry at Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are in Clearwater, Florida. We have a brand new location, which we love, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater, basically at the corner of Drew and 19. And we invite you to our Sunday morning service at 10:30, which we had this morning. And Wednesday night Bible study at 7, which is an amazing time, which we'll talk about in a minute. Station ID, here we go. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
Woo!
Listen.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Megan, and I feel like I'm in warp speed today, Cedric. I don't know what it is. Is it the second Diet Coke I'm having right now? Is that it?
I thought that was coffee. Okay.
It's the second or third Diet Coke
that's
in
not,
the last hour.
It's not caffeine free?
No.
Okay.
You think that's it?
Must be.
No, wow.
It's not that.
No,
it's
not.
Know what it is.
It's God. That's
exactly.
Right. Woo. So we welcome you back with us. And we've had a wild first hour. If you missed it, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Our shows are there by the next day of every week. Cedric records them, gets them shipped up to our webmaster, Maxine, in Georgia. They go on our website. As of last week, we had like 275 shows on our server. We have GoDaddy, and it's a big server. And so this will be number 276, although this is actually show number 353. But we don't have all of them from the first couple years because we weren't recording like that then. That was before technology changed to enable us to do that. So that's exciting that there's so much word on there. Nan, I know you're one of those that sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, and you'll go turn one of the old radio shows on and listen, don't you?
Yes.
That's a good, the right answer, Nan. That's the right answer.
Well, it's what is cool about it is they're listed out there by date, but then within that it'll have the subject of the show, and it'll list the people who are on the show.
Right.
You know, so if you have a favorite person,
right.
or you can find just a topic that seems to be what you need to hear, you can just go and tag out there and listen to it till you fall asleep, if you know,
absolutely.
Whatever. But, you know, listening to it, you know.
It's good training in the Word of God.
Oh, it's
absolutely.
Rich. It's rich.
Woo, what happens you know, on, go ahead.
Well, and the thing it is, and that's what, at the beginning of the show, we made reference to people who listen to it live and people listen to it later on the website, which is what we're talking about. You know, the Spirit of the Lord moves when that's being played to them. It's not like, well, the anointing is on the show now, right now, from 3 to 5 on this date in Clearwater, and that's it. No, the anointing goes forth.
Amen.
And when people listen to that, the Lord moves,
still there.
And the anointing is still there,
still
and
there.
The Lord moves in people's lives, and is really, you know, it can be a life-changing experience just listening to a show because you couldn't sleep one night. What
absolutely.
Better thing to do, you know?
What better thing to do. Woo! All right.
All right.
Megan, you and your mom, Betty, are part of our radio team, and there's like eight people that join me and rotate on the air, and we are so glad you are. Even though when I first met you, Megan, you were 9 years old coming to my church I was pastoring in Indiana. My kids were about your age, and you guys were all in the children's ministry that your mom headed up, Betty. And boy, that seems like a whole long lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, the memories of what the Holy Spirit did still sticks with you.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Yes. Praise God. And to have you now, you and your mom both, a part of this ministry here in Florida, it's just amazing what God has done and brought us back together in ministry again. It's so cool how God can cement friendships, Nan, you know, and the devil's always trying to divide, okay, mm-hmm. people from each other. God is always seeking to unite us together, mm-hmm. you know? Unite us in prayer, unite us in vision, in ministry, around a purpose, you know, a goal, where we're headed, what we want to see done. Megan, you said this is a year of truth and correction, and I really believe that's interesting that you said that. I believe you're right, because I intended to start this year teaching a different subject matter, really on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God took me into Matthew here, where Jesus' words are words of truth and correction right here. And they're setting the tone for the whole year. Talk to me about that, Megan.
Amen. And, you know, it's like God knows that he has to be direct and clear at this point in society.
Right.
Because we are people are at a point where they are just so ill-focused on the wrong thing.
Right.
They're focused on controlling their own life, controlling their families, and he's trying to get people's attention to point them back in the right direction of the person that has ultimate control, and that's himself.
Ooh.
And it's like I will repeatedly say this, that at some point, God is going to try. He tries every day to get your attention. But I have a feeling that it's going to get bolder and bolder and bolder, because that's what he's going to have to do to say, hey, snap out of this junk that you're in. And hello, I'm right here in front of you. I'm trying to open the door, but you keep slamming it in my face. And it's like we have got to stop being so blinded. It's like we're horses with wagon gear on. We've got those, you know, those blinders that you wear on each side. They wear on each side of their eyes.
Right.
And it's like he wants you to pull those off because he wants you to see the truth.
Amen.
He wants you to see the truth in every situation. He wants you to see the people that are in your life that are causing you negativity. He wants to point that all out to you because he wants to bless you. That's what he created us for. Was to show us that no matter what we're going through, that there's a blessing at the end of the trial, there always is. There's always victory in God.
Woo! Which leads us directly into this song, which I've never heard before, by Israel Houghton and New Breed. It's Not Over When God Is In It.
We want to speak life over you today. Every person listening, we want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New Breed.
It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning.
It's only the beginning. When God is in it,
all things are new.
All things are
new. Some friends along to just encourage you a little further. James Fortune.
This is for someone right now.
I know it's darkest.
Yes.
Just before dawn.
It's not easy right now.
This might be the hardest season you experience.
I've been there.
It hurts.
But it won't last.
Won't be too long.
Won't be too
because
long.
You are
closer than you think.
You may not see it yet. Come on, Israel.
Oh, look to the sky. Help is on the way.
Say it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not finished.
It's not finished.
It's not the
end
yet.
It's not it.
Your story's not over. This is only.
It's only the beginning.
It's only the beginning.
He makes all the difference. He makes all things new. Yes. With God.
All things are new. All things are new.
In the spirit, I sense something starting to move.
Something is moving.
Everything is turning around.
God is in it. There is no limit. It's not over when God's in it, no matter what it looks like, Megan. And this applies to the struggle that you're going through. It's not really a struggle. The opportunity that you have to have your faith increased over your unborn child that you are carrying right now and the problem in his diaphragm that has been diagnosed. There is no limit, no limit when God is in it. Megan?
Amen. I heard something this morning said that the gospel works now or it never will. And that
praise
is so
God.
True to me. That is so true to me because I told you last week on the radio show that God's been taking the pen from me when I'm writing in my journal and basically said, could you shut up a minute and let me talk. Ooh. And it's like, okay, hold on. Let me get over here on this other page. And he told me, he said, I chose you for this for a reason. And he told me that the reason he chose me for this is because I am going to be able to show my faith through this storm. And he again told me that you're a woman of valor and you're a woman of your word. And I totally praise and thank him for that word, because I have more faith right now than I've ever had, because I know that's all I can cling to, is that, you know, I am in a storm, yes, but there is going to come a miracle and there's going to come a victory at the end of this storm. And I truly believe that's going to be in 3.5 months when my son is born, that there is going to be a day in my life that's totally going to show me God's absolute power and his absolute ability to totally prove these medical diagnoses is wrong, because I am having pure faith and I'm speaking, you know, I'm speaking words of life into my child. I'm not speaking negativity, and I'm holding on to the truth in the Bible that Jesus, when he died on the cross, that he died on our cross and took those beatings for our healing and our salvation.
Amen.
That is what's carrying me. Woo! Right now, and it's so strong on me that I know that no matter what happens, that God is right beside me always.
It's not over when God is in it. There is no limit. There is no limit. Amen. To his healing ability. There is no limit to the effect that's going to come from your testimony of God's healing power, Megan. And we have got to start realizing that our experiences down here are opportunities to draw us closer to God and to help other people as we tell that story that increases people's faith. And all of these life experiences, it's all about eternity, Nan. It's all about where we're headed and us being prepared and helping to be the salt and light for so many people to help them get to where they need to be going in heaven someday. Talk to me, Nan. Woo, good stuff, Megan. Okay. Nan's thinking and processing. Wow. It's rare when she is like speechless, isn't it, Megan?
It's a rare moment. I'm speechless right now. Megan, go with it.
God's talking to her right now. So she's just like,
it's all right. That's I understand. I have to tell you, we're in the car traveling, and I'm telling you what, it feels like it's 105 degrees in this car, because the Holy Spirit anointing is just
so high.
It's the strongest I've ever felt it in my life.
Right.
And you know, when you declare and let God take over your life and your spirit and your tongue and your mouth, mm-hmm. it's amazing how he can do a transformation in you, because Ooh. It's just, you have to get to a point where, and I did, and it was on December the 10th, I will never forget the day the rest of my life was, that's the day when it was like, okay, this is some real serious stuff that we've been given here, but I'm not going to let it bring me down. I'm not going to let the devil have the glory, because that doesn't happen with me. The glory all goes to God. No matter what situation you're facing, whether you're facing financial problems, if you're going to lose your home, you know, you don't get into a spirit of discouragement. Get into a spirit of glory and a spirit of praise.
Woo,
and,
amen.
And come up out of the valley.
Yes.
And come up on the mountain.
Yes.
Into the light.
Yes.
And claim your victory over whatever situation you're in, because it is possible. It is totally possible. We just have to learn to be obedient. We have to learn to start giving God parts of our day. And it shouldn't just be on Sundays anymore, people. It needs to be every day of your life, is getting in the Word and praying throughout the day whenever you have a chance. It's totally about obedience.
It's about obedience. It's about attitude adjustment, Megan. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. He's talking about us allowing him, God, to really talk to us and cause us to see the error of our ways in different areas in our lives and to actually change and allow God to make the changes. I think that one of my most frustrating things in the ministry has been years of feeling like so often the words that are spoken in a sermon or a teaching, they just fall on deaf ears. It's just like somebody's tuned out and they're over there. They could be playing a video game for all that matters because they're just gone. You know, they're someplace else. But I see that changing right now in the body of Christ, Megan. I believe that people are beginning to realize the absolute importance of getting their lives right with Almighty God. I believe Amen. God is calling us to purify our motives and get our focus refined, to really begin to understand that God wants us to accomplish so much this year in 2014 for the kingdom of God, and that it's not okay to be the same old, lazy, complacent, belly-aching Christians that we've been. You never hear what I'm saying? Nan's writing a poem, so I'll let you talk, Megan, because
sure.
God is just speaking. Yeah, God's just speaking to her.
Well, you know, it's like this in my mind. You know, we have technology now on our televisions that we can record whatever we want to watch. And so it's like, set your DVR to record your favorite television show and decide from here going forward that instead of sitting down and watching television, that you're going to record it, and then you're going to go in the back room, in the closet, wherever you need to go, where you can have some quiet time with God. Because if you don't shut off your cell phones, if you don't shut off the television, and you don't get to a place that's quiet, how are you ever going to hear God's voice among all of the jarbled stuff you got going on in your life? You got to get on the clear and narrow. You got to give him time so that he can talk to you, because he wants to talk to you. He wants to hold you in his arms and help you through whatever you're going through. So, you know, whether it's 7 minutes a day, it doesn't matter. Start now in this new year of giving up something that you enjoy so that you can take time to hear his voice.
Well, Megan, that could not have been a better segue to Matthew 6, 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 in the Message Bible says this. This is Jesus talking. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Mm-hmm. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. And his grace is his empowering presence. That's what it is, that allows us to rise up above all that we are not so that we can become all that he is. That's what grace is, according to Graham Cook, and I love that definition. Grace is his empowering presence that causes us to rise up to become all that he is instead of all that we are. You know, all those things that we can't seem to do. Grace allows us to learn to forgive, to let go of the past, to deal with hurts, to deal with resentments. God's grace, his empowering presence, allows us to make life changes. Now, Nan, do you want to read your poem?
I'd like to read my poem. I was sitting here a while ago when I was kind of quiet. And
With tears in my eyes.
What came to mind was what is happening with this radio show, as it always is. But what's happening, we'll talk about this one right now, is it that the Lord is speaking many, many words of life to a lot of people, to people listening live now, and the people who are going to be listening, I feel strongly, going to be listening to it later on the website. And this is just a little poem that he gave me. I'm speaking my words of life to you. You hear my words. What will you do? Do you want to live generously and graciously? Is that the way in which you will be free? And that way you will be free. I want you to accomplish much this year. Will you move forward in my strength and not fear? It's okay. I have so much to be done. Come on, apply my words. Look to my son. You can do it. Spend the time with me. Of your bondages, you can be free. Listen to these words I speak to you. Will you move forward? What will you do?
Oh, my heavens. That is profound. I'm going to have you read it again in just a moment. And if some of you want a copy, you can actually write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I can have Nan send you a copy of that. But that is it. That's the, see, now that's how God uses you so often. Well, I've also heard him many times use you with a prophetic word, but that is a prophecy, really, and a come to Jesus moment, if you will, through a poem, you know, which is a wonderful way that God speaks through you.
Right.
But it is a challenge. It is, what are you going to do? Listening audience, are you going to be the same this new year that you've always been? Are you going to be the same critical or judgmental or, you know, just kind of mean person that maybe you've been in the past? Or what are you going to be? Are you going to be different? Talk to me, Nan.
I choose to want to be different.
Amen.
I want to be different. You know, I was just thinking about how, you know, sometimes people in church, I love everybody in my church family.
Yes.
I love them all.
Yeah.
You know, I have a special, different types of relationships with each one. Some you get closer to, some, you know, you just say hi or hug at church or whatever. Some I go out and do things with socially.
Right.
My social life is with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's the people I do things socially with. But I was just like, you know, it's just so neat the way that the church can come together, you know, and we can encourage each other, you know, and in those times of socializing, you know, you can also get an encouraging word if someone's having a tough time, you know?
Amen. Okay. Woo. All right. Read it one more time. Then we're going to go to this next song.
I'm speaking my words of life to you. You hear the words. What will you do? Do you want to live generously and graciously? Is this the way in which, if in this way, you will be free? I want you to accomplish much this year. Will you look forward? Will you move forward in strength and not fear? It's okay. I have so much to be done. Come on, apply my words. Look to my son. You can do it. Spend the time with me. Of your bondages, you can be free. Listen to these words I now speak to you. Will you move forward? What will you do?
Ooh. Casting crowns, this is now.
Standing at the water's edge, I dropped my dreams when I dropped my nets. No hesitation, no regrets. I followed you, but that was then, and this is now. You washed my feet and you changed my name. I swore I'd never be the same. Just like the tides, I guess people change. 'Cause that was then, and this is now. I wish I could go back, but I don't know how. I remember when I stood my ground. I swore I'd never let you down. I wanna be that man again, but that was then. And look his Savior in the eyes. I heard a dead man take a breath. dropped to my knees as I watched him rise. And I felt the sea beneath my feet as I stepped out on the angry waves. But you saw the storm raging within. You reached down and caught me there. But this is that was then, and this is now. My child, I bore your cross, I wore your crown. When you couldn't come to me, my love came down. So take my hand, I'll lead you out, 'cause that was then, and this is now. Child, I bore your cross, I wore your crown. You couldn't come to me, so my love came down. Take my hand, I'll lead you out. You'll never be that man again, 'cause that was there, and this is now.
Time for change, body of Christ. Time to realize the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross for us. He didn't just die for our sins and our sicknesses. He died for our rotten attitudes, too. The things that just cause us to be so hypocritical. And he says to us, come to me and let me cleanse you. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to be set free from pettiness and from gossiping and from lying and from cheating and stealing or whatever it is, or maybe it's just good old bitterness and good old bad old resentment and bitterness and hurt feelings, God can and will set you free. It's your choice.
The Lord gave me a simple two-verse poem. And I really feel strongly it's for definitely someone specific, maybe a few, but let me just read it. It's kind of interesting. You can't change the wrongs done to you, but you can move forward and be free. Look to me for what you're to do. I am so proud of you, my beauty. You can reach out to others this year as you had never done before. Will you make the difference this year? Will you choose to walk through that door? And I really feel in my spirit that there's some people who are going, you know, y'all talk about making a difference this year or things happening this year, or doing new things this year. And it's like, but look at where I am. Look at what's happened to me. Look at what I've done. Some of what they may have done is hold on to that bitterness. Mm-hmm. Well, you really can't make a very good moving forward doing things if you're holding on to bitterness. It just, you can't do that.
Amen.
You can try to put on a front.
Right.
And you can hold the front for a while.
Right.
But in the longevity of it, you can't do that. You've got to get that crap out.
You've got to.
You've got to get it out. And there's so much that needs out there to be done for the kingdom's sake.
Oh.
There's a lot of people. There's just people dying and going to hell. They don't even know they are. You know, if we got to
preach it, Nan.
If we got to, you know, bicker amongst ourselves and hold bitterness, we can't be moving forward in the way the Lord wants us to move.
How can we be salt and light if we're all corrupted on the inside? And Jesus was addressing this, and he was saying, love your enemies. It's not okay just to love people you like and who are sweet, kind, and lovely to you, and then hate everybody else. There is no room for hate in the body of Christ. We should not be walking around with hatred, bitterness, and unforgiveness and resentment down in our hearts. And if you have it towards anyone, you need to deal with it. The Holy Spirit is saying, deal with it now. Don't let it just get in there and fester and rot and get stinkier and stinkier. Megan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah, I got the Texas, Megan.
Why? Where'd she go somewhere? Okay.
Yeah,
all
she
right.
did.
All right. I won't even ask. She's pregnant.
When you're pregnant,
I know.
You've got to go to the bathroom.
Potty break. Potty break. Yes.
That's right.
Megan, did you hear all that?
I did. I came on right at the end of the song, and you know, it's the question is what are you going to do this year to make a change? And mine was, I've always really loved that song by Tim Timmons, How Can I Leave a Legacy?
Right.
And God's answer to me asking him that was through the showing of my faith.
Woo!
And so that's it's a challenge for people. Here it is, January the 12th. It's not too late to set some goals for yourself.
Right.
And that is your challenge. And God is challenging you to say, are you going to stay over here in the junk, or are you going to come over here into the light and let me heal you and let me show you my glory?
Amen.
And what I can mean by that very simply is that I could choose right now to live in fear. Fear of childbirth, fear of what the doctors are trying to diagnose my son with. You know, all out fear, but I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Praise
because
God.
I am speaking a miracle over this child.
Amen.
And I refuse to let the devil win.
Amen.
And if you have people in your life that are bringing you down and you've tried and tried and tried to say, hey, you know, you're hurting my feelings or you're stealing my joy, get in whatever way you have to, get them out of your way so that you can get to the top of the mountain.
Amen.
Stop letting stuff block you
yes.
from the glory of God.
Woo! Yes! Amen! And absolutely, sometimes that means decisive measures. Sometimes that means that you quit spending so much time with the naysayers. You quit hanging out with all the negative people. You surround yourself with people who are going to build you up, and people who are going to speak life and words of life to you, and people that are going to direct you back to what God says about your situation. Not people that are going to go, oh, yeah, it's awful, it's terrible. You know what I'm saying? Nan, talk to me about this.
Well, you know, and we all do. In my day, in my life, I only have a certain amount of time that I can socialize. You know, our jobs, our responsibilities, the things you have to do. And I choose not to hang out with people who are like that.
Me too.
I mean, there's some times I've even probably had offers to come and hang out with, but because of, I just don't want to be around the negativity.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather be at home sitting in front of my TV watching TV than be off hanging out with someone who's going to drag me down. Spiritually, it can affect me spiritually if I'm around
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff, you know, negativity. I don't want to be around. I don't want to be around it.
And see, that's the kind of decisiveness we need to have in this new year, people. We need to decide today is going to be, what if today was the last day we lived? Has it been, will it be in the last few hours of it today? A day that changed somebody else's life? Did my life change? Did I draw closer to God today if today is the last day? I mean, we need to begin to take seriously. One of our dear people lost her brother this week, and he's 54 years old, just dropped over dead Friday morning. And, you know, we are praying for the family. This has been a strong, very, very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And a prominent person here in our local area, police officer, was not shot or anything, dropped over dead in his own home. And we don't know, Nan, how long we have on this earth. Are we going to be sitting here a year from now? We don't know. So what can we do different to become the salt and the light? Megan, talk to me about this. I feel strongly about this, that time is of the essence.
Amen. You are dead on, because here I'm 33 years old, and, you know, as a Christian, I mean, people can say, well, if the world came to an end today, would you be sure that you were going to heaven? And I can tell you right now that I know in my spirit and in my heart that if I was to die today, that I know I would be right at the gate.
Amen.
Of heaven.
Amen. Of course. Yes.
Because, and we should all feel that way,
right,
Pastor Anand, that we have, that every day that we're here, that we should live in the truth. We should be the truth. And when we are those two things, the light will shine through us.
Amen.
So no matter where you are or where you're going, you're bound to touch somebody if you're walking in the truth.
Amen.
You're bound to. And that's what we need to do. We need to stop walking in the shadows, and we need to come out around the corner, through the door, through the window, however you want to look at it, and come out into the brilliant light that shines out of heaven.
Woo, Nan.
I want to share a story. I don't know if you even heard this story before. It was when I was first married, and we were in Jacksonville. And I knew I wasn't serving God. I mean, I knew that. I wasn't. We were going to church, but that doesn't mean anything. Going to church just doesn't mean anything. So I went out. I went to, my husband had gone out to look at some of our plants, and they were on the porch or whatever. So I went out there to say something to him, and he wasn't there. And I walked around the trailer, and he wasn't there. We're in a trailer park. We just got married. We're in a trailer park. And I was like, where is he? And I looked around and couldn't find him. I thought Christ had come.
Wow.
It was scary. I mean, I hadn't thought about that till it was very scary, because I thought, oh, Christ has come. And I didn't go. So I jumped in and got in the house real fast and called my pastor, who happened to answer his phone. So when he answered his phone,
and either your pastor didn't go either.
Yeah, yeah. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought Jesus came, but I hung up on it. So by that time, my husband comes walking back in. He'd gone to the neighbors there to talk. And I said, man, I thought Christ had come and left behind him. Of course, who do you think called me back on the phone?
Pastor.
My pastor.
Yes.
Want to know, well, why did you feel that way? But it was, I tell you what, though. I mean, that's kind of a funny story. It was scary, Pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, I was scared.
Right.
I mean, I was scared. It was like, oh my gosh, I have missed this. How did I miss this? And I felt very alone, and it was very scary.
And do we want anybody in our sphere, people that we know, to miss it? Do we want anybody to miss that heavenly reward and not be with Jesus for all eternity? And the answer is no, we don't want anybody to miss it, you
right.
know? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to be harvest hands this year? Are we going to boldly talk about these principles that Jesus sat down on that hillside and he said all these very strong things to all that would listen? And I mean, so strong as to love your enemies. You know, golly, come on, that's strong. Be salt and light. Change your life. Change your attitudes. Start loving people even if they hurt you. Love them anyway. Megan, talk to me about this. What are we going to do in this new year?
Well, we need to do a lot this year. And one of those starts with cleansing the junk out of ourselves.
Amen.
And if you're in a boat that you're carrying something over from last year, you need to ask God to give you a new one, because your past should not predict your future.
Amen.
That is something that we need to learn to let go of. And we need to learn to be a harvest hands, like you said. We need to learn to start to be more bold in the words that come out of our mouth. We need to get up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, speak through me today to whoever needs to see God's grace, whoever that may be. And just sit back for once and relax and let God take over. Stop trying to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You should be focused on today, because as we just stated, today could be your last day. And what we do today determines our tomorrow. So be positive, pray, be obedient, get in the Word, and learn to dwell in the house of God, and watch how your life will change no matter what you're going through.
Well said, little one, little grasshopper. We won't be shaken by the group Building 429.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, the way seems so unclear. But I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, oh, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, 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 oh. No, we won't be shaken. You know my every longing. You've had my every prayer.
Knowing that God is working all things together for our good. Oh. Here's Nan.
Pastor, the Lord inspired another poem today.
It's been like quite a day of poems, hasn't it?
Quite a day of poems, that's for sure. And it's like he's speaking to us, and he's speaking to all of us through the words of this program, this radio show today.
Yes.
I have spoken my words of life to you through this radio show that you've heard today. Take them to heart. Meditate upon them, then move forward in what you're to do this day. I will lead you in all you're to do. I see all and am making the way. Ponder upon the words you've heard today, then listen to me when you pray. Many will be blessed by what you do. I am with you, little one. I am here. You will know what you're to do for me. I will set the path from here to there.
Ooh. It's a matter of listening to his voice, isn't it?
It's a matter of listening to his voice.
And allowing yourself to go down that path and saying, I determine to be more for God than I've ever been. This is our finest hour. Let's move forward.
Right.
Megan talked to us about this. It's decision time in the family of God, is it not?
Amen. Well, I just had a word from God. I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody. So you haven't been able to trust anyone here. You know you can trust me. I won't steer you wrong. I won't lead you into something alone if you just trust me. Step out of the way and follow me. I'm your eternity. I'm your only hope.
Oh, strong
so,
words.
So if someone feels like they're at the end of their rope, that there's nowhere else to turn, there's nowhere else to go, that you have no one, you know, no other human that you can turn to, you can turn to your Creator, the guy that knows you inside and out, the guy that wants to heal your broken heart. You need to wake up, snap out of it, and come out and declare over your life that you're sick and tired of living the way you're living, and that you're ready to walk in the path behind God. You're ready to walk in glory.
Which is really Matthew 5:3 in the Message Bible. And Jesus says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. In other words, when we get to the place in our lives, no matter whatever it is we're going through, that we can't fix ourselves and our mess, God is like rejoicing, oh, good, they're at that place where they can't fix it. Now maybe they'll be dependent on me. And that's what God's calling us to do in 2014. Become more dependent on God and allow him to free us from these rotten attitudes, the bitterness, the hurt, the resentments, the bad feelings, the hard feelings. It is time to take those things to God and say, God, here, I can't fix it. I don't know. I'm at the end of my rope here. I don't know what to do. And these words again, Matthew 5:3, words of Jesus in the Message Bible. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Talk to me then.
There's been times that I've been at the end of my rope, and then that's when he just comes there and he's there. You know, he's there. He moves in the situations, you know, and I think sometimes we almost have to get to the end of our rope because some of us like to think we can maybe take care of ourselves. And so we actually come to the end of the rope because we're still trying to do it our own way, and we're trying to take care of it ourselves. You know, when we finally reach a point of, oh, I can't do this, then he can.
He loves it when we come to that point of, I can't do it. Woo, Megan, talk to us.
Well, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life, ever since I can remember. And I was at the end of my rope back in the beginning of December when I was given very negative news about my son's diaphragm. And I remember being in that room, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't angry at God at all, not one bit. I was actually angry at myself that I had pulled away from the one person that I knew could carry me through anything. And I was at the end of my rope right then and right there. And I knew that he wasn't going to bring me any further than my knees. And that's where I went. In total submission, I broke down on the, I mean, I was in the room by myself, but I broke down on the floor like I've never done before. And I said, God, you are the only one that can help me. And when I cried out like I did, pure of heart, pure in spirit, he came right there and met me in that room and told me that he was so glad that I was back.
Oh, wow.
And that that I was letting him hold me. So people, he wants to hold you every day of your life, no matter what you got going on. So whatever it takes, you know, today, go in a room by yourself and shut the door and get down on your hands and knees and ask the Lord to come and visit with you. And let the tears of healing fall. Let the rain fall on you and wash you clean of all the junk that you've been carrying around. Because it's a new year, and it's a time for a new you. It's a time for a new you in God.
Whoa. Which brings me right back to Matthew 6:6 one more time. Here's what I want you to do. These are Jesus' words. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to play role or role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. And that's what it's all about. Getting quiet before Him, getting sincere before Him, getting repentant before Him, saying, Lord, show me those areas of my life that I need to change in this new year to become effective, more effective for You. Let's pray together right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You asking You to do just this. We come before You asking You to show us those areas in our lives where we're missing the mark, where we're sinning against You, where we are sinning against others, where we have bad attitudes, where we have ill feelings, where we are hostile, where we are upset, we're mad or hurt or resentful. Lord, where we have areas of unforgiveness, show us those things. Because we want to have them exposed to the light of Your word, mighty God. And then we want to confess those things as sin, and we want to move forward into this new day of Your grace and Your mercy in our lives, working in us and through us. So Lord, show us, and then we'll deal with them. And we thank You for this right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Nan, give us some final thoughts here. We're creeping up here on 5 o'clock.
Well, my final thoughts comes back out of the scripture we've already read in Matthew 5:48 in the Message Bible. It reads, in a word, what I'm saying is this, grow up, your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. And the emphasis being on graciously and generously living out towards others. And I would like to encourage the people to do that.
Absolutely.
And encourage them. We've made many references this program to being a new year.
Right.
We're in a new year. Move forward in this year. Walk that way towards the people that you see. I mean, time is drawing short. We need to get over crap and just, pardon expression, sorry. We need to get over ourselves and get over things, and we need to move forward, you know, in... You know, we need to move forward in the way that God has us move forward, and there's things to be done.
I want you to read this poem, this one, I'm Speaking. Read that again one more time, and then we'll go to you, Megan, for some final words.
I'm speaking my words of life to you. You hear it. You hear my words. What will you do? Do you want to live generously and graciously? Is that the way that... Let me start again. I'm sorry. My handwriting was bad. I'm speaking my words to you of life to you. You hear my words. What will you do? Do you want to live generously or graciously? Is it the way that you, in that way, you will be free? I want you to accomplish much this year. Will you move forward in strength and not fear? It's okay. I have so much to be done. Come on. Apply my words. Look to my son. You can do it. Spend the time with me. Of your bondages, you can be free. Listen to these words I now speak to you. Will you move forward? What will you do?
You can have a copy of that poem and the others that God gave Nan today by just writing me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Megan, the doctors this week said that the organs, the brain of the little baby Grayson are all fine. There is this hole in the diaphragm. We are believing God for total healing before Grayson is born. They did say that they could perform surgery after, but there are complications. And we are proclaiming right now on the air,
mm-hmm.
total healing,
yes,
for
amen.
Your baby. And believing God that this child is healthy and whole and strong and will live through the birth process and will be shown to be totally healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to all of that?
I do. I have two things. I had a vision Friday night after I got an email from the nurse at the fetal care center about some more statistical data on my son, that God showed me a vision that I was still in the hospital after delivering Grayson, and they brought him back to me, and he was fine. So
okay.
That's just another vision from God confirming what we just proclaimed on the radio.
Amen.
And I have a scripture very quickly. It's John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Mm-hmm. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So that's just
right
out of the book of truth of exactly what we've been talking about today. And I hope that you make the decision to draw closer to God.
Woo. Amen. Good stuff. Thank you for Megan for filling in for us. You were not regularly scheduled, but Connie couldn't make it today, so we appreciate you stepping up to the plate.
Anytime. Loved it.
And please give your mama a hug and baby Andrew there and hubby Ben and all those in the family. And just know that your labor here on this ministry, in this ministry and on this show, you and your mother, is very, very much appreciated. And Nan, the same for you. Nan, you've been by my side for a long time, and thank God for you.
Oh, no problem. That's what we're here for, Pastor. I love you a lot.
Well,
you've helped me a lot, and I thank you for that.
God is moving in people's lives, and it's going to be a good year.
Yes, it is.
It's a year of shaking up. You know, some of the old attitudes, they got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
right.
going to see victory this year.
Right. Amen.
And people
Amen.
Are going to draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. They just are.
They are.
And because time is short, and God, we just thank you for this time that you've given us today on the air. Bless our listeners. Help them to draw closer to you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to the old shows. Sunday mornings?
Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Yeah.
As we have our morning service, and we have a time at the beginning of that of the praise and worship. We had a visitor come back. Came last Sunday, came Wednesday, came again this morning. One of the things she wrote on her visitor card was, I love the praise and worship.
Praise
so the praise
God.
And worship is really good. The anointed word, a time of a prayer afterwards for anyone who needs prayers. That's our Sunday mornings. Wednesday evening at 6:15, we have our prayer meeting with people many times come from work. I know I do and things. We can just bring our food. We have tables set up and sit there and eat, and prayer requests are shared. Praise reports are shared. Then at 7, we have open the Bible study where it's interactive, and we get to talk, and I've learned a lot by being there the years I've been there, you know, and getting asked questions, and that's our services.
Good job, Nan.
Ooh, all right.
It's been Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Megan. Woo! God bless you. Have a good week. You can contact me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Send your prayer request to prayers@bohmglobal.com. See you next week, and it's not far to Jesus. Woo! God bless you.
Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 Thank you.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.